My name is Will Ruler. I'm on the staff here at North Star, and Pastor Dave this morning with Christina and the family are just taking some needed break time. They're down with Christina's family here for a few days, and so he had asked if I would share this morning, and whenever I am asked to speak on a Sunday morning, my first step is to pray and to ask God to lay something upon my heart that would really be a word that would bring encouragement, comfort, challenge to his people. And as I waited on him, there are some things that he's just really laid on my heart this morning. And I'd like to just start by praying together. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you so much that you give us voices that we can use to sing your praise and your worship, for you are indeed an awesome God. We love you. We desire, as your children, to bring glory and honor and praise to you. Our prayer this morning, Father, is open our ears and our eyes and our hearts to those things that you would want to impress upon us this day. Lord, allow us to come from this year of 2017 into a new year with a sense, a renewed sense of your love and your peace in our lives. So, Father, we come, we pray, we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. On November the 24th, back about 25 years ago, 1992, Queen Elizabeth II gave a speech in London. It was supposed to mark the 40th anniversary of her becoming the Queen of England. And in that speech, she made it. She said these words: 1992 is not a year on which I shall look back with undiluted pleasure. In the words of one of my more sympathetic correspondents, it has turned out to be an annus horribilis, which was kind of a strange term. It got headlines around the world in the newspapers. In Latin, those words mean a horrible year. Now, when you hear her say that, and then you reflect on the fact that for her, the previous year had resulted in Prince Andrew, her one son, separating from the Duchess Sarah Ferguson. Her daughter was divorced from Captain Mark Phillips. Prince Charles and Lady Diana's marriage was on the rocks, and his affair with Camilla Parker Bowles was being splattered all over the tabloids and in the newspapers. And then, just 4 days before she made this speech, there was a fire in Windsor Castle, which is the London residence of the Queen when she's in London. And it destroyed historic sections of that building. And so, in one sense, it's little wonder that for her, the description of that year was these two words, annus horribilis. When I was reading this, and I was looking back on 2017, the question that came to mind is, what are some of the words that perhaps for us would describe this year? Now, the first thing that came to mind was, boy, when you think of the wildfires and all that took place through those summer months, you can understand someone saying, well, my first thought is, it was a terrible year. But then, when I talked to others, and particularly people who are new parents, like JD and Naomi, and you see the birth of little Sebastian. When I speak to people like Peter and Tracy, who are new grandparents, and there's that whole new excitement of a new season of life. It's been a wonderful year in many ways. For some, it could be maybe ho-hum, rather unexciting, not too many major things happening. For others, perhaps this was a year that was really peaceful for you. I know for myself, it's been a challenging year, mostly health-wise. But now as we stand at the end of 2017 and we look out into 2018 in front of us, my desire is to learn how to be less anxious about those things I cannot control and much more focused upon that which I can control. I want to be able to experience more of the peace of God in my life, in whatever the circumstances are that I come upon through this next year, 2018. I'm not sure for yourself whether what might be on your heart, but that's what's on my heart today. And yet there's something that I'm aware of, that we in this culture of Canada live in a world that's characterized by anxiety. And I don't know whether you've ever felt like this person here who's got all these questions. Will I ever pay off my student debt? Do I look stupid in this outfit? What am I doing with my life? All these questions, these worries. But there was an article just recently in the Globe and Mail, and it said this: anxiety has been around since we've been around, passed on through genetics and affected our environment and our ability to cope. It's a normal part of the human experience, felt by us all at different times, such as during a job interview or perhaps prior to the birth of a child. What isn't normal is the dramatic spike in people suffering from chronic anxiety. The numbers are staggering. This article says 41% of Canadians are at high risk of mental health issues, according to a recent poll. 36% felt so stressed it was affecting their daily lives. So there's this thing called anxiety, this state, which one way of describing that is that it's a state of apprehension, uncertainty. It could be fear or the anticipation of either a real or a fantasized situation or event that then results in impacting us physically, sometimes psychologically. Anxiety, it's not a force or a thing so much as a state of uneasiness that can result in us being consumed by worry. And some of the symptoms of anxiety are things like having a sense of panic or fear or uneasiness. Sometimes there are the stress headaches, the sleep problems. We suffer from insomnia or shortness of breath. There are a variety of ways in which this thing, this state of anxiety, can affect us. Now, I don't know what causes you to be anxious or perhaps to worry. I see students here. Perhaps it's the exam that's coming up that puts us into that state of uneasiness. Sometimes that's a good thing because it helps motivate us to study. It could be a job interview. It could be our finances. How are we going to run out of month before we run out of money? How do we make ends meet? Then too, it could be health issues. It could be relationship tensions. All you have to do is turn on the TV and on one hand, hear the latest news about ISIS or Rocket Man or Donald Trump, and it's not surprising that people begin to feel anxious and worried. I think if we're honest, we would admit that we face a huge temptation to be filled with anxiety. And yet, you know, they're beyond the state of anxiety caused by the things that I had described. The professionals describe at least four types of anxiety disorders. Should I say five? One is a panic disorder. Another is called generalized anxiety disorder. Another, social anxiety disorder. Another is obsessive compulsive disorder, you may have heard of. And finally, there's another one, post-traumatic stress disorder, which is the result of a major life event and the impact upon us. Today, I just want to take a few minutes and focus our attention on how we respond to the challenges of everyday living that can fill us with anxiety, that can cause us to plunge us into a state of worry, and can steal our peace. What's interesting is the Bible has a lot to say about anxiety. You don't find the word, specific word, anxiety used a lot, but the topic of anxiety is found throughout the Bible. One that just I find interesting, starting right back in Genesis, chapter 32, in verses 3 to 8, we read the story of Jacob. And Jacob's returning home after many years away. And it says that he sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. See, Jacob had stolen the birthright and the blessing of his father from the one it was intended for, who was Esau. Now he fled in fear because of what Esau would do. Now he's at a place where he's returning. And it says he commanded them, he was sending messengers to Esau, and he commanded them, saying, "Speak thus to my lord Esau. Thus your servant Jacob says, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now. I have oxen, donkeys, flocks, male and female servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I may find favor in your sight." In verse 6 of chapter 32, it says, "And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, we came to your brother Esau, and he also is coming to meet you with 400 men. So Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. Here is Jacob experiencing anxiety and stress that's been caused by a broken relationship and a guilty conscience. If we were to look over into 1 Samuel chapter 1, we read there about the distress that was being experienced by Hannah, who was unable to bear a child, while being taunted by Peninnah, her husband's other wife. And her anxiety and distress was caused by unfilled desires and the harassment of a rival. Through the Psalms, we see how the psalmist David experienced and dealt with anxiety. But probably the best known passage is found in the book of Matthew. And it's chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. And just follow along with me as I have them on the screen. This is Jesus teaching from the Sermon on the Mount. Beginning to read in verse 25, he says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." You see, in these scriptures, Jesus clearly teaching us not to worry. That worry is something that we are not to engage in, not to be consumed with, the cares of this world. And the promise of Jesus is that if we get our priorities right, if we seek the kingdom of God, then he will provide all that we have need of. We have a choice, though. We can choose to focus on the things that we need, or we can choose to focus upon who God is, what he has promised, what he desires for us. There is another passage of scripture that I've just found personally a tremendous challenge through 2017, and it's found in Paul's writings to the Philippians, in Philippians chapter 4. It's a very well-known passage of Scripture. We'll read these first seven verses of Philippians chapter 4, where Paul says, "Therefore, my beloved and longed-for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord, and I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Maybe by way of some context, here's the Apostle Paul sitting in prison in Rome. And he's wanting to communicate and to send a letter thanking the Philippians for having financially sent a gift with Epaphroditus to help alleviate some of Paul's needs. And so he writes this letter. And in this part of the letter, he's speaking here to a church that he founded 10 or 12 years previous when he first received the Macedonian call. And he's telling them to stand fast. He's giving them instructions on how to live out their faith. As I've read this, you know, we read the first three verses. He addresses the conflict that's happening between these two women within the church. And what's interesting is these are Christians, but they're in conflict. They are encountering some form of strife. And the words of Paul are that they are to be of the same mind. They're not to be in conflict. In essence, what he's saying is, stop fighting. And that's where he starts this particular this passage. And then he emphasizes the need to rejoice in the Lord always. And then emphasizes it again by restating it. Again, I will say, rejoice. The definition of rejoice is that we're to feel or show great gladness about something. I don't know about you, but there are circumstances and times in my days and weeks when, boy, I find it hard to rejoice, to show great gladness in the circumstance that I find myself in. But that's what Paul is saying here to the Philippians. Rejoice. And again I say, rejoice. In verse 5, he says, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Now, gentleness involves humility and thankfulness towards God, but also a polite and restrained behavior towards other people. Then we come to verse 6, where he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I received a letter from some folks within our family here. I was reading this yesterday as they shared about their experience with the fires over the summer and being given moments to flee from their home and to leave behind animals and their possessions. And I think to myself, wow, how do the emotions rise when you face that kind of crisis? And it's little wonder that we take on a sense of uneasiness. We don't know what the outcome is going to be. But Paul here is saying, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. There's three things here that just leap out at me. He's saying, by prayer. And then he says, and supplication with thanksgiving. How is it that when we face situations that cause us unease, that our tendency is to drift not to prayer, but so often into worry, that our minds start going, what if? What if this happens? What if that happens? Yet what Paul is saying here is by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. One of the things that I've discovered is that the prayer is not coming with the shopping list at the outset. It's coming into God's presence. It's doing some of what we were doing here just recently through music, where we worship God. We declare to Him the attributes of His character, who He is. We worship Him. We confess whatever sin is in our lives, and we ask for and receive the forgiveness and cleansing. But we're in that place of worship in prayer. And then He says, in supplication. Supplication is when we bring those specific requests to Him. We could also, there's the prayer of petition where we can come to Him on behalf of others. Part of what He's saying here, come, be specific about the needs that we have. He is our Heavenly Father. He knows even better than we do what we should be praying for. And that Paul encourages us here by prayer and supplication. But the piece that for me I just have seen in a whole new light is with thanksgiving. Coming to Him and thanking God for His work within our lives. Thanking Him for saving us. Thanking Him for imparting His Holy Spirit into our lives, that we are then given the strength to do the things He's calling us to do and to be the people that He wants us to be. And it's that thanksgiving for what He has done, for what He is doing in the situation, but it's also, by faith, it's thanksgiving for the prayer that He is going to answer. That by faith we thank Him, that as we come, that not only does He hear our prayers, but He has promised to answer those prayers when we pray according to His will. It's through this time of prayer and supplication and thanksgiving that something happens. And sometimes I find I come kind of on one track, but as I spend that time praying, as I spend that time in His presence, He reorders what it is that I'm asking for. And I realize that what I think I may need could be very different from what ultimately He wants to do through this situation. And I'm reminded of something when my wife Annie was being admitted into the hospice in Vernon. We went with the social worker, and she spent an hour or so with us and did all of the pre-entry questions that needed to be asked. And as she finished and left the room, I'll never forget Annie just looking at me and saying, I wonder what God would have for me here. And what she was saying is, okay, I'm in the hospice. Obviously, God knows I'm in the hospice. He has something for me to do in this situation. And how can I live for Him here? And she was very intentional about seeking to share God's love to the 65 or so volunteers who were there serving the folks in the hospice. With the staff, the encouragements that she would bring. I came back one day and found her with her hands on the shoulders of a lady praying for her. And I knew that this lady was a volunteer, that she was a creative person. And when she had left, I just said, what was that all about? Because I knew she was a Catholic lady. I wasn't sure quite how she might respond when Annie asked her if she could pray for her. But it was just that she was leaving on a vacation with her husband, and Annie just felt moved by God's Spirit to pray for safety and protection over her in that situation. There's a promise that comes. You see, I guess when we read this, it's so easy to read, okay, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And then in verse 7, it says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God, that state of tranquility, that gentle or quietness of spirit that just transcends the circumstances. In John chapter 14 and verse 27, as Jesus nears the end of his earthly ministry, he says to the disciples, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Whatever the circumstance, whatever the situation, if we're open and willing to receive, then God can flood us with his peace. What is the challenge? What's our challenge? You know, we go through our daily lives, and it may be that the concerns and cares that we're dealing with at this time are things that we don't regard as being major, but they cause us anxiety. They cause us uneasiness. They cause us to worry. We can experience the peace of God if we make the right choices. There is a choice, though, that we have to make. And we can stop. We can choose, on one hand, to worry about the situation, to be enveloped or drawn into a state of anxiety, whether it's how we're going to pay the bills come the third week of January, whether it's how do I respond to that child that I'm in conflict with, or whatever. We can choose to allow those circumstances to result in anxiety and unease. Or we can stop and we can pray and we can ask God to show us how he wants us to respond in that situation. We can give him thanks for his presence. We can give him thanks for his character, for his qualities that allow us as his children to show the love that maybe where love isn't deserved or warranted. To show the understanding. We can thank him. We can just take a moment and thank him for his promises. The promises we find throughout Scripture of his love for us, his desire to pour out that love and to protect us and to provide for us. We can thank him for the outcomes of the prayers that we are offering, even if it is a case of just coming and saying, Lord, although this is what I'm praying and I'm looking for, you know best. Let your will be done in this situation. Help me to have peace in the midst of it. Earlier this fall, I was contacted by my specialist in Vancouver to say that the results of some tests that were done after a surgery I had earlier this year were troublesome. They were concerning to the specialist, and it appeared that there was still cancer active in my body and that there were tests that he now was wanting to perform, a whole series of tests. And when I got that news, I was something like a deer in the headlights. It just was not what I was expecting at all, because I had no symptoms and I had no sense that this was what he was going to be saying. I was expecting him to say, "Everything's great, carry on." But in the days leading up to these tests, I found myself in a constant mental battle with fear and anxiety, both for the tests and the process of them, but also for what might happen as a result, what those results could be. And where this scripture, these scriptures in Philippians just have taken on such new meaning for me personally is the moment I began feeling that anxiety and that fear, I would come back and say, "Okay, Lord, you're saying, don't be anxious for anything. I'm bringing this to you. I don't understand what's going on, but I pray for, I thank you for your hand upon my life, and I rest in your presence." And as I would pray, there literally would be that peace that just made no sense, that peace that would just overflow. And I found, even as I went through the tests that I was and the scans that I was just not looking forward to, that in the midst of that, God was able to impart his peace in a very special way. And it just made these scriptures just come alive afresh in my life. But what I keep finding is that when I choose to ignore that response and I allow myself to be drawn into the what-if scenario, that it takes very little time to be filled with anxiety and worry. That choice is constantly in front of us. Well, just maybe drawing this to a close for this week, something I've been just wanting to ensure is that we talk about the peace of God in all circumstances. That's his desire for us, to know his peace. The peace of God. However, first, we need to know peace with God. And I'm not sure what's drawn you to this place this morning. For many of us, it's kind of, that's what we do on a Sunday morning. We come here to North Star. Perhaps you're visiting. Perhaps you've been invited here by a friend or a relative. But I want to ask the question this morning. Do you know peace with God? Do you know a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, where you've come to a place where you have recognized that you've been living in rebellion against God, that rebellion is sin, and that you've come to that place of recognizing you need him in your life, and you've confessed your sin, you've turned your back upon it, and you've invited the Lord Jesus to come and dwell within you. If you come to that place, because We can't know the peace of God until we have first made peace with God. And I want to encourage you as we come out of 2017 and we're embarking upon 2018. Come into 2018 in a relationship with the Lord God Almighty through His Son, the Lord Jesus. We can look back, I'm sure most of us can remember the many times we chose to be anxious and to worry. And yet, as we go into 2018, I'm encouraging us to choose the gift of God's peace and the key that unlocks it. The scripture that we've been reading, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, as we hear the words of Jesus and we read the words of the Apostle Paul, we are reminded of those times when the choice we have made has been a choice to try and handle things on our own, to try and do things our way. It's been a choice that results in anxiety, in worry, and all of the things that brings. Father, we pray, forgive us for the times when we fail to look to You, when we failed to come into Your presence, when we failed to simply allow You the freedom to respond and answer the prayers that we offer. Father, we pray for, we ask that You'll make us mindful of those opportunities when You desire to flood us with Your peace, regardless of the circumstances. So, Father, we come and offer these prayers in the name of Your Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen.